This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One more hour left to go here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking up the 9-10 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They're out in Arizona as Nats and Diamondbacks getting ready to play the first of three tonight. Nats shorthanded heading into tonight's contest after moving on from Lane Thomas about a half hour to an hour ago. We broke it right here on The Fan. Make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all night long to hear the reaction of Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler as they get you rolling at 9-10 with Nats on deck. Now, I've been out in Ashburn, boots on the ground at Washington Commanders training camp practice. Today, the first day of full pads for the Burgundy and Gold, and the energy was at an all-time high. Pads were popping, bodies were flying, no fights broke out, which is a good thing. But the position group I told you all that I was paying attention to most, two of them, offensive line and defensive line. My practice standout from today was rookie left tackle Brandon Coleman. If I had to put a percentage on it, I know this gets dangerous. If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd probably say that Brandon Coleman's the starting tackle week one. Seriously. And I've been on the record. See, I've had an affinity and a bias towards Brandon Coleman. I have, and I'll be honest. A couple of days after he got drafted, he joined myself and that caged animal Chris Russell over on the Team 980. He joined us for a Windbag Wednesday. And getting to talk to Brandon and understanding his story at that point in time, I really began to understand and gain an appreciation for just how damn good he is. See, Brandon Coleman had to play JUCO coming out of high school. Late bloomer at the position. You let him tell it, he thought he was going to the damn NBA. He wanted to play basketball. Military kid, grew up in Germany. But living that JUCO life, man, if you come out on the other side of it and then make the NFL after going JUCO, you got something special in you, man. You got some dog in you. And I think that is what Brandon Coleman is full of. Dog. That mentality of, man, it ain't nothing that's going to stop me from achieving my goals. It ain't nothing that's going to stop me from getting to where I want to go. And if you are in the way of it, you'll get knocked the hell out as a result. I think Brandon Coleman has a real shot. While he hasn't been perfect, he's got a real shot to be the left tackle of the future. Why is the left tackle of the future so important? Because I don't know if you all heard or not. You know, we drafted a quarterback, number 2 overall, back in April. Former Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. Brandon Coleman and Jaden Daniels, for my money, looking at Washington's, what was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 draft picks. Daniels and Coleman, the two most important. Jaden Daniels, Brandon Coleman, the two most important guys. Hopefully, they are donning the burgundy and gold for the next 15 to 20 years. That's what I want. I'm going to be one of those teams that has one quarterback, start a bunch of games, break all the franchise records, and then when you ask him who is responsible for him breaking those records, he points to his big tackle and says, that guy. That's what I want between Jaden Daniels and Brandon Coleman. And I think we're well on our way to getting that. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, before yesterday's practice, which was the first practice with fans in attendance, before yesterday's practice, Jaden Daniels looked damn near flawless playing the quarterback position, getting the football out on time, right? Throwing with touch, throwing with anticipation. He looks like the real deal through the first three practices. He had looked like the real deal. Yesterday, woof. Yesterday, Jaden Daniels looked like a rookie. He just did. He looked like a rookie. And that's okay. That is okay. That's what training camp is for. It's to iron out the kinks. It's to work through the growing pains. But yesterday was bad. He didn't look very good. Neither did the first team offense, neither did the second team offense. I thought the entire practice, as I mentioned, was a little bit sloppy. And that's because my assumption is because there were fans in attendance. Now, that can either be really good or really bad. Now, I think everyone in that organization, everyone on that team, understands that this is the dawn of a new era. There's a lot of hype surrounding this franchise. There's a lot of pressure on Jaden Daniels, despite what they're going to tell you, to end up being the long-term answer at quarterback here. You didn't draft him number 2 overall to be drafting a quarterback again in 2-3 seasons. He's got to be the guy. It's got to work. It's got to work. And through the first 3 days of practice, I was about 1,000% sure that it was going to work. The last 2 days of practice, where he has been admittedly up and down, I still have an unwavering confidence in this young man, but it was good to see that he's mortal, right? It was good to see him throw a pick and then bounce back in 7-on-7 the way he did on Friday. Now, on Sunday, didn't turn it over, but was just airmailing passes. Was high, was far outside, just was inaccurate for a majority of the practice on Sunday during the 11-on-11 stuff. 7-on-7, I thought he was better. 11-on-11 stuff wasn't very good. Today, I thought he handled the pressure relatively well. We saw him step up in the pocket. We also saw him be forced to hold on to the football. So he is going to continue to work out the kinks and grow and get better. But the same thing I said after the first practice of training camp, in my opinion, you know, remains true. He has been head and shoulders better than Marcus Mariota through the first 5 practices. He just has been. So much so that, like, it's sort of become annoying that he hadn't been named the starter. But like I said, depending on how much stock you want to put into the first padded practice, today it looked good. It looked different with pads on. It did. The whole operation. So we saw them primarily focus on the run game today, but we did see him throw the football. Most of the time, you know, it came out on time, but there were a couple of instances where, you know, he had to hold on to the football a little bit longer than he wanted to. There was a throw during their red zone period where Daniels has about a 5-step drop, gets flushed out of the pocket, makes a beautiful throw on the run along the left sideline and hit Terry McLaurin in the hands and he dropped it. So there were good moments in practice today, but all in all, I would describe today for Jayden Daniels, he looked like a rookie. And that's okay. I'm excited to see his practice-by-practice growth. I'm not sounding any alarms. I'm just bringing you the skinny from Ashburn. He was inconsistent today. He was inconsistent yesterday. But the first 3 days, I thought he was flawless, lights out, damn near. Now, granted, it's going to look different when pads come on, when the pass rush is heightened, when you've got to deal with Deron Payne sitting in your lap, when you've got to deal with a blitzing Frankie Louvu. Like, it's okay. It's nothing to be upset about. Nothing of getting into a frenzy over. He's just got work to do. And maybe, just maybe, for those of you out there, myself included, that are curious as to why Dan Quinn hasn't named him the starter, he hadn't seen him in full pads yet. It's different football. All he's seen him in is underwear and T-shirt. That could come off really wrong if you're just not tuning into the program. But all we've seen him into this point up until today was helmet, shorts, jersey. It is a different game when those pads come on. So it may be a while before Jayden Daniels gets named the starter. He may not get named the day one starter. I'd be shocked, but it's all in the realm of possibility. I'm curious to see how he bounces back tomorrow. Does he look marketably better tomorrow? That's the hope. That's the hope. But my big thing that I'm looking at here is when these joint practices are on the calendar and they go to Florham Park to take on the Jets. I believe that preseason game is the 10th. Noon Eastern time kickoff. They're going to joint practice with the Jets on Thursday, have a walkthrough on Friday, and then the game's on Saturday. That's the next big, measuring stick moment for Washington and for Jayden Daniels. How they practice against the Jets will tell you a hell of a lot about who this football team is. It's the first time to get a chance to hit another jersey. Like, they're going to be geeked up. They're going to be ready to go. But tomorrow, day two of full pads in practice, I want to see how Jayden Daniels bounces back. I want to see how Jayden Daniels responds. I want to see him get more opportunities to throw the football. Because it felt like today he didn't drop back and pass it a ton. Everything was, screen game, quick game, and the running game, which is fine. That's how you install stuff. That is okay. Don't mind it at all. But I got to admit, I am getting a little antsy. Because I want to see him drop back and sling it. Let him make mistakes now. Let him continue to learn now. So when we get to the regular season, he isn't seeing anything for the first time. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. Jayden Daniels, I thought, up and down, mixed bag performance for the second straight day, but still, in my opinion, looks marketably better than Marcus Mariota. Another guy that I want to mention, who I thought has been really solid and damn good through the first 5 days of practice, including today during the first padded practice, really impressed with Brian Robinson Jr., a guy that I thought was Washington's best offensive player a season ago. He is a young man that continues to improve as a pass catcher, continues to show off his stuff in pass pro, and runs as hard as all outdoors. He runs hard. He's a pain in the ass to tackle. And now he's sharpening his toolbox in terms of being a receiver and a receiving threat out of the backfield. When you add Austin Ekeler to the mix and when Cliff Kingsbury is your OC, you got to be able to catch passes out of the backfield. My thing that I'm interested in as we move closer to the regular season, does it get to a point where they begin to prefer Robinson over Ekeler in these obvious passing situations? We'll talk about all of that and more coming up on the other side of the break when we're set to be joined by my pal Zach Selby, who covers the Washington Commanders for Commanders.com. Their senior writer does an awesome job covering this group. But before we get to Zach, see one of my guys on the line. We'll get to it before we get to Selby. Colin and Clinton, if he's ready. Pot him up. Colin, what's going on, my brother?
Oh, hi. Thanks.
Got you on immediately, bro. I saw you on the line, so I threw you on immediately, my brother. How you feeling?
My man. Good. You know, I really wanted to get your point of view, I like hearing about there were short passes. What was his ball placement like on those? You know, like the average depth of target of passes across the league is short. So, you know, if he's getting those out and with good ball placement, good yak, and et cetera.
Yes.
So,
that has been the strength of his through the first five practices, ball placement and accuracy. But the last 2 days, as I've mentioned, he struggled in those areas. Today, I think it was because of the pressure. But I also think there's jitters and there's nerves with 3,000 fans in attendance. Colin, I don't know what you do for work, but if 3,000 fans all of a sudden showed up to your 9-to-5, I'm sure you would do the job a little bit differently. I think that's what we saw yesterday in particular. Today, I thought he was better. I thought for the most part, we didn't see him airmailing passes the way we saw on Sunday. And it's, when I say airmailing passes, it's not something that we saw consistently, but based on the way he looked the first 3 days, it was eye-opening to see because I didn't think that was possible from this young man. I was raving about his accuracy and ball placement. Today, it was better. I'm still eager to see what he looks like tomorrow when they ask him to do a little bit more in these fully padded 11-on-11 sessions. Colin, I appreciate you tapping in as always. We got to get to a break here. Coming up on the other side of the break, as promised, senior writer for Commanders.com, our pal Zach Selby joins the show next with his thoughts on Commanders training camp.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Still rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:10 before we dish the rock to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you geared up for Nats and Diamondbacks, game 1 of 3 against the Diamondbacks. As we broke the news earlier in the show, Nats a little bit shorthanded going into this 3-game series against Arizona. They move on from Lane Thomas. They send him off to the Cleveland Guardians in exchange for some damn good young prospects, including 19-year-old left-hander Alex Klemny, the 58th overall pick in last year's draft. He's had some huge strike numbers this year, 6'6", 205 pounds, the number 8 prospect in the Guardians system. We'll see how quickly he comes here and is able to get himself acclimated to the Washington Nationals farm system. Right now, though, want to continue our conversation surrounding Washington Commanders training camp, the first day of full pads out in Ashburn. To do so, super, super special guest on the guest hotline, making his overtime debut, my guy Zach Selby, who covers the Commanders and writes for the Commanders at WashingtonCommanders.com. You can give him a follow on the old X app at Zach Selby WC. Zach, what's going on, my brother?
What is up? I can't believe it. It is the first time I've been on the show. It seems like it's a little overdue, but hey, you know what? All bygones be bygones. We're here now. We're in the moment. We're talking about Commanders training camp. And hey, it's a great training camp practice to be talking about. First day in pads, right? I mean, you can't get it more exciting than that.
Exactly, for sure, man. Zach does an awesome job. Make sure you all check out his work at WashingtonCommanders.com. Zach, I guess we'll start with the big news that I guess we had today. Rookie left tackle Brandon Coleman taking first team reps at left tackle. What did you see from him today during the first padded practice? And from your knowledge, how excited is this coaching staff about the possibility of him, Zach, being the long-term answer at left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, with Brandon Coleman, you kind of didn't know what he was going to be in his first year. He had some of the tools, right? He has the size, he has the arm length, he has exceptional foot quickness, which has been on display a lot in OTAs and minicamp and in training camp. But you were kind of wondering, okay, if they wanted to be the long-term answer, like what's the step towards getting that? It looks like it's going to be going on. It's happening a little bit more quickly than you would have anticipated because when he got the first reps, I guess he started to get the first reps near the end of Friday's practice with Andrew Wiley, went out with a little bit of that tightness. That continued on into the next practice day. But when Wiley came back, you expected kind of things to go back to normal with Lucas being at left and Wiley being at right. But no, Coleman was out there. And I think something that really stands out to me a lot, again, is his foot quickness. Now, he has the size of a guard, but really what makes him able to play tackle is how quick his foot speed is. Yeah. And you saw that a little bit in OTAs where he was doing some of these foot quickness stuff a lot better than some of the veterans were. And I was watching him after practice today. Him and some of the offensive linemen were doing some pass rush moves, and he's looking smooth out there, really polished in a way that I really wasn't expecting him to be. Now I was talking to his offensive line coach over the summer, and he was talking about how good his foot speed is and how quick he is. And, you know, of course, you know, this is your former college coach. He's going to be talking good about you, but –
They love him out there at TCU, Zach. I mean, I've had people tell me tremendous things about him.
Yeah, the Horned Frogs are all about him. And honestly, he lived up to the reputation. Yeah. And we'll see how he does in the preseason. But I will say in practice, you know, the very first play of that two-point conversion drill I did, he seals off that strong side linebacker. And you see B-Rob just right through for a touchdown. Yeah. And he also pancakes Cleveland Farrell, too, which is also pretty impressive. So he looks the part so far. Now we'll see what happens when you go up against the Jets defense. That is a top defense in the league. But so far, he's kind of like how Jaden Daniels is doing. He's acing all the assignments that he's been given so far.
Yeah, for sure, man. I am a huge fan of Brandon Coleman. Zach, me and Chris Russell got the chance to talk to him the first Wednesday after he was drafted, and you could just hearing his story, Zach, which I know you're very familiar with, working out of JUCO, a guy that honestly was a late bloomer at the position, didn't know whether or not he wanted to play football or not. As someone that I played a little Division III college football, Zach, and anybody that, and you know this as well, if you are mentally tough enough to go through the grind of being a JUCO football player, where it's PB&J and milk for dinner four out of the 7 days out of the week, you have what it takes to make it to the next level. And if you see it through and end up getting to the NFL, I think the hit rate is super high. Zach, let me make this statement and I guess get your reaction and response to it. Even if he does not, you know, carve out the left tackle spot, would you agree that it would be a shock if he is not one of the five starters week one against Tampa Bay, whether it's at left guard, whether it's at right tackle? It seems like here through the first 5 days, Zach, he for sure is at least one of their best five.
Yeah, it seems like it so far. I mean, now again, like we're not even a full week into practice yet, but like you said, like he looks like he's going to be out there at some point. Now, what that's going to be like, who knows? Yeah. But I mean, here's what I'll say is, like, his development is always going to be a long ramp up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's we're all aware of that. And I think even if he's not ready for week one, I still think you still feel pretty good about it, as long as you're seeing progress, which we are. So say he starts, you know, and plus especially offensive line is such a hard position to get adjusted to going from college to the NFL, because you're going against much stronger competition. Yeah. You're going up against these guys who are a lot quicker, a lot faster than you, and you're not just talking about defensive ends either. These defensive tackles are about as quick as the defensive ends are in today's league. So even if you're not, like, say he's not out there for Tampa Bay week one, and he ends up being, like, in week eight or something like that, that's still getting you closer to having an answer, a critical answer on the offensive line, which has been such an issue for this team for the better part of 5 years, which is crazy to think about. And you have at least one piece there that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters can work with and say, okay, we've got this guy. Now let's see if we can work around him next year. And because, again, like, I know we're all focused on this year, but they're working on B, C, D, and F, too. They're not just working on step A.
Right. For sure. We're joined right now on the guest hotline by our pal Zach Selby, who covers the Washington Commanders for WashingtonCommanders.com. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Zach Selby WC. Zach, I want to flip over to the defensive side of the football. And one thing I was actually writing about was what's going on at the safety position for a defense, mm-hmm. Zach, that last year gave up the most points per game in the NFL, gave up the most passing yards per game in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Revamping that side of the football from a personnel standpoint, we thought was definitely needed. They got new guys up front in the front seven, but there's also new guys in the back end as well. Yep. The safety pairing that we've seen dating all the way back to OTAs has been last year's second-round pick, Quan Martin, and then free agent acquisition, Jeremy Chinn from the Carolina Panthers. What is it about those two, Zach, that this coaching staff loves?
You know, I think it's an interesting dichotomy, because you have Jeremy Chinn, who is very good at one thing. I think he is good at just hitting people, just going after the ball, going after and attacking people. And I think that is a skill that I think this defense was sorely lacking on the back end of this defense last year. I think it really, really showed up against some of those top tier offenses. He is not afraid to do anything at all on that offense, on that defense. He's going to go up there and he's going to get in your face. Now with Quan Martin, on the other hand, he's got so much versatility. He can do basically anything you want him to. He's can play safety. He can play close to the line of scrimmage. He can play near the box. He can do all this other stuff. So I think it's the dichotomy of you have a guy who's really good at one thing and then a really good at everything.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're really just working well together. And communication is so critical at every single position, every single both sides of the ball. But it seems like those two have some sort of chemistry together, and I think that's something that you really want to see out of your defensive backs, because they're going to be talking constantly. And I think one of the things we heard last year is that there wasn't a whole lot of talking between the safeties and the corners. Those two are in constant communication all the time. They are very much in lockstep on the same page. So I think that it almost as much as the talent is really what this coaching staff likes about them, is just how well they work together.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, and tell me if you agree with this, Zach, we know there's competition littered up and down this roster at every position, right? And certainly in the secondary, based off of how horrendous this group was last year. But one thing that I have noticed, with all the mixing and matching that we're seeing along the offensive line and at other position groups where there are competition, there has been continuity with the front, with the first, four or five guys that are in the secondary. It's been Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice at outside corner, with Mikey Sainra still in the slot, and then your two safeties have been Chinn and Quan Martin. Is that to give them a leg up when it comes to communication? Because it feels like, although there's competition, there has been continuity in terms of the mixing and matching of guys that they're having out there.
Yeah, it is interesting, because when we first got in training, I thought the secondary was going to be kind of like what the offensive line is right now, just moving a lot of parts and pieces, because there's a lot of people in the back end of that defense, but I don't really know exactly how well they're all going to fit, because I have questions about all of them right now.
Yeah.
So to see that they've really kind of had more or less the same group has been interesting to me. And I think it kind of does go back to the communication. I think that, you know, Joe Witt Jr. said back, I think it was in June or May, that they have 18 starters, guys yes. they consider to be starters, and they're all going to be in there rotating and things like that. But at the same time, you at some point you got to have your starting group out there and you're starting for the back end. And like, I think you really want to say, okay, at least let's get these guys out here and start getting some communication together so they can get all build up a little bit of a chemistry. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, it's been Emmanuel Forbes. It's been Vincent St. Juice. It's been all of that. And I think you still are going to see some movement there. Like Noah Igbinoghene is gonna get out there. He's an experienced corner. Michael Davis is a proven starter in this league. He's yes. going to be able to get out there as well. But I think you do want to have that core group at least working together more often than not. Because they are all kind of like how the offensive line is. Again, like they're all working as one in very different ways. So you do want to have that cohesion there.
For sure, man. I think they're going to benefit as a result of it. I am just, and I said this all summer long, Zach. Last year's coaching staff and the staff that Ron assembled over the past couple of years did their darndest to try to get the job done. Obviously was not good enough. The departure mm-hmm. of Chris Harris last year, I thought, drastically impact the communication yeah. in that oh, yeah. secondary. But, Zach, when you've got former Super Bowl champion William Gay, when you've mm-hmm. got Jason Simmons, who's coached top 10 secondaries in the league, when you've got Joe Witt Jr., who's been in charge of the secondary of Dallas that has been a turnover machine over the past couple of years, say what you want about the talent that Washington has. The coaching staff that they've put together on that back end going to be just as responsible for the overall success of that group.
Yeah, I really think it is. And I think that, yes, they've done a whole lot to address that particular part of their defense, and it's very much needed. But I honestly believe the coaching is really what's going to play an even bigger role here. I mean, we'll start with Joe Witt Jr. Yeah. Everywhere he goes, he's turned secondaries from just being – kind of where the Commanders were last year yeah. to one of the best secondaries. I mean, look what the Cowboys have been doing over the last couple of years. They've been leading, they've been close to the top of the league in turnovers or at the top. They've had two of the leaders in pick sixes. Like, they know how to just emphasize turnovers in ways that other teams in the league just aren't doing. And you've got guys like Gay, you've got guys, you know, like Donatello, you've got yeah. a lot of other guys who've been around, who know what they're doing. And, you know, and you bring up Chris Harris, like, yeah, that was a, you could tell there was a significant difference yes. between whenever he was there on the field in 2022 and he wasn't in 2023. He brought a lot of energy that just, you know, and no disrespect to the previous coaching staff, but yeah. it just wasn't there. And there's no other way to say it. Now, these guys, they're not maybe as boisterous as Chris Harris is, but they are very intentional in what they're talking about. Yes. There is a very clear way and very clear design about what they're talking about. And they're finding interesting and interactive ways to teach those concepts. That is so important, because I don't think there's ever been a moment in any practice that I've watched so far where a player is just doing nothing.
Right.
They're absolutely
yes.
all trying to figure out the new concepts and trying to be proactive in figuring out as well. So these coaches are very involved. They're all very involved in what they're trying to teach. And I think that helps get the message across. And that cannot be over. The importance of that cannot be overstated, especially when you're working with a group yeah. that was near the bottom of every single statistical category like the Commanders were.
We're joined right now on the guest hotline by our pal Zach Selby, who writes for the Washington Commanders on WashingtonCommanders.com. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Zach Selby WC. One guy that I know was really the silver lining, or was really the bright spot, rather, last year on an offense that was just god-awful at times and hard to watch, was Brian Robinson Jr. And his yep. continued maturation, Zach, we knew what he was coming out of Alabama, a physical, bruising runner, but it feels like the last two off seasons in particular, he is really taking his game to another level as a pass catcher. And when you've got when you're sharing a backfield with a guy like Austin Ekeler, and you've got a play caller like Cliff Kingsbury, you know you're going to have to improve in that facet of your game. How do you strike the balance, if you're Washington, of allowing Brian Robinson to grow into the total, complete back that he is, meaning dominant in between the tackles, explosive out of the backfield as a pass catcher. How do you let him grow and develop and flourish while also getting snaps to the veteran Austin Ekeler, who, you know, Zach, had a little bit of a down year last year due to some injuries, but in 2021, in 2022, he was the touchdown leader in the National Football League. So I guess my question is, how do you maximize B-Rob and allow him to reach his potential while still letting a guy like Austin Ekeler be a huge benefit in addition to your team?
You know, as you were asking that, I was thinking about some of the Dan Quinn said, weirdly, about Mike Sandersfield, who is just so very versatile. And he said, you know, we want to maximize his versatility, but we also don't want to take away some of the things that he does the best to stretch him too thin. I think that's how they're going to set this up, because they do have Ekeler and B-Rob have very different skill sets. I think, and although they can do a little bit of both, right? So I think, you know, B-Rob has shown that he can be a pass catcher, and he wants to do more of that. I mean, most times they've played the Falcons the last couple of years, that's when he's sort of thrived as a pass catcher. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, B-Rob is a runner. Like, he's a bruising back. Yeah. He's going to go downfield. He's going to roll over people. He's going to just attack this line of scrimmage. And I think that's – you let that be – since I like to bake a lot, I'll say that's the cake, you know, and then the icing is the pass catching, the everything else. It makes it look really, really pretty. And you say, wow, that's a damn good piece of cake right there. Nice and nothing and perfect. Now with Ekeler, it's kind of the opposite. The cake is the pass catching, because yes, he's been able to run the ball well, and he knows how to attack the outside on the outside zone plays. But really where Eckler's ability thrives is where he's just a pseudo wide receiver, and not necessarily as spectacular as Christian McCaffrey, but in that same sort of ilk where you'd feel kind of hamstrung if you just put him at one spot. I think you'd really rather have him out there doing a little bit of everything. So I think with B-Rob, it's very much going to be a duo. I don't think there's a clear one and two for those guys. They're very much 1A, 1B. But I think with B-Rob, you're going to have him do what he does best, which is run downfield, carry guys like he did with the Falcons a couple of times, just carry people on his back. and then you've also got Ekeler, who can just go out there and line up in the slot if you need to, or just take a screen pass and take it 50 yards. It's very much a balance of just maximizing their skill sets without taking them away from what they do best.
Zach, obviously the all eye is going to be on Jaden Daniels for the rest of the way here in that quarterback room. Interesting dynamic between him, Marcus Mariota, and the other quarterbacks in that room. In years past, it felt like you can feel the competition, and maybe it was impacting the relationship that the guys have. With Marcus being a veteran that, you know, a guy like Sam Hartman and Jaden Daniels, for that matter, looked up to while he was in college, describe the dynamic that exists right now within that quarterback room. And then a two-parter for you here. What have you seen from both of those two quarterbacks, talking about Marcus Mariota and Jaden Daniels with the first five practices?
You know, I think with the competition, I think we all know that eventually Jaden Daniels is going to be named the starter at some point between now and the end of August. Because I've watched this competition, and I think it's not to say that it's not a competition, but there's very much a clear difference between when Jaden is on the field and when Marcus Mariota is on the field. And that's not a disrespect to Marcus. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But I do think it goes back to what Mariota was saying back when he first got signed here about just creating competition, because it helps elevate everybody. And I think there's a very clear, you mentioned, you know, previous years, I don't think that the hierarchy, if you want to put it that way, has ever been was as clear as it was as it is now. Like, it's very clear that even though there's no official depth chart, Jaden is eventually going to be the one, Marcus is going to be the backup, and Sam is going to hopefully be three, maybe if it's on the practice squad or whatever. Like, there's a very clear hierarchy there. And I think now that they know their roles in more or less, I think it does allow them to get the most out of what they're doing at that time. And they're not all like – it's not a vindictive way of doing things. Like, Marcus is not – even go back to his days in Tennessee and Atlanta, he's not a vindictive person. Yes, he wants to get better. And I mean, he's a human. Of course, if he was asked to be the starter, he would definitely say yes. But at the same time, he's not trying to one-up Jaden. He's not trying to keep him down or anything. He's trying to help elevate – Jaden through the competition. As far as what I've seen, you know, I think I've answered a little bit about what I've seen from both of them. I think it's a little bit of a, I would say the last couple of days maybe weren't as sharp for Jaden as it was near the beginning of camp, but you still see throws. You're just like, the ball just comes out of his hand so differently. And then when he runs the ball, it's like, wow, that is electric ability that we just haven't really seen very often. You just can't wait to see how Cliff Kingsbury is going to use that and play with that skill set. Like, it's just so exciting. And it's not going to be ready by week one. It's going to take well into the season before they find their identity. But you're going to see some really exciting plays out of Jaden in ways that you really haven't in quite a long time from the Commanders quarterback position. And as far as we've seen from Marcus, I think, you know, Marcus is – I wouldn't say that he's had, you know, a good or bad day. It's he's like everybody's had his ups and downs for sure. But I think his value really comes from, again, what he's able to teach Jaden in just on-field stuff and just in life, because he was also a number two overall pick with the Tennessee Titans. He knows the amount of pressure that's on Jaden Daniels' shoulder in a lot of ways. So I think just being that calming presence can go such a long way for a guy who's not even, like, what is Jaden, like 20, 22, 21? Like,
yeah, 23, 24.
He's still a really, really young player who's got a lot to grow in this league. So having a guy who's been in the situation, done that, been a starter, been a backup, won playoff games, all that, having that calming presence, and Marcus definitely is that, allows him to take the pressure off his shoulders and just allows him just to learn the league as he's going along, which is really, I think that's how true quarterbacks are able to grow in this league.
Zach, I got one more for you, man. I appreciate you giving us some time. I know we both got to be up at the top of the morning, crack of dawn, to get back out there to run it back for tomorrow's session. Is there a sleeper guy or under-the-radar guy that's really caught your attention? It doesn't even have to be under the radar, but the guy outside of the quarterback that has caught your attention the most here during camp?
You know, a guy that I'm always attracted to the receiver position when it comes to this, because I feel like the bottom of the receiver position group is always it's had a lot of competition there. And I think Kazmir Allen is a guy that has stuck out to me quite a bit. He's had a couple drops here and there, a couple focus drops, but he's had some pretty impressive catches, you know, here and there. And I think it's going to come down to, because he was so close getting a roster spot last year, had not been for that last, you know, preseason game where he was muffing punts and you know, not doing what he was originally supposed to do as a special teams guy. But I think if he can find a way to carve out a role on kickoff or on punt return, I think he has a very good shot of making this roster. At UCLA, he was a special player catching the ball at in kickoff and punt situations, but he could definitely take the distance. I think with the way this new kickoff structure is going to set up,
that's a big part.
I think there's maybe it's not a hot take, but I think we're going to see more special teams touchdowns than we've seen in a long time. I think Kaz has the speed, he has the quickness, he has the vision to do that. I'm really hoping the Cavs make some kind of role on this team, and we'll see how he does in the preseason. That's what it's always going to come down to. But I think he could definitely, if he could even just, like, you know, do some things as a wide receiver six or whatever, however many they end up keeping, it could go a long way to proving his value.
Yeah, it's going to be the fascinating thing too, Zach. How many wideouts do they ultimately end up keeping? Because the numbers game there could be pretty fascinating. Zach, I appreciate you as always, man. Your overtime debut here tonight, man. Awesome getting the chance to catch up with you, my brother. I appreciate you giving me some time.
All right, y'all have a good one.
That is Zach Selby, one of the absolute best talking all things Washington Commanders. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Zach Selby WC. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take a spin around the National Football League as we get geared up for the start of NFL training camp. 1 week of camp in the books. We'll take a spin around the NFL and check in on some other teams next. One final segment here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9:10 before we dish the rock over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll bring you Nats and Diamondbacks from out in Arizona. It is a 9:40 first pitch pregame coverage. Of course, gets rolling at 9:10. Right here on the Fan with Nats on deck. Old money-making Mitch Parker set to get the start for the Curly W's. Hopefully, he is much better than he was his last two outings where he was absolutely shelled. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Nat's going to be a little bit shorthanded tonight in Arizona, and I wonder what type of impact this has on the bats. Lane Thomas, the Lane Train, no longer a member of the Washington Nationals. GM Mike Rizzo continuing to wheel and deal as we get closer to Major League Baseball's trade deadline. We saw Jesse Winker get dealt over the weekend. Now, Lane Thomas, the latest member of the Washington Nationals to get moved. He gets shipped to the Cleveland Guardians in exchange for a package of prospects, including a guy that there seems to be some excitement about on social media, Alex Klemny, the 6'6 lefty from the Cleveland Guardians, their number 8 prospect in their system. It's got a nasty fastball that tops out at just about under, just a hair under 100 miles per hour. And he is a young man that hopefully in due time will be a big part of this Washington Nationals pitching staff. But as we mentioned, though, Lane Thomas, no longer a member of the Washington Nationals. Klemny, the big prospect that they get in return. They also get 19-year-old single-A shortstop Rafael Ramirez, as well as 23-year-old triple-A infielder Jose Tena, who's played shortstop and third base this year. He's got 35 career major league at-bats, so prospect with a little bit more experience to round out that package that Washington gets in exchange for Lane Thomas. Now, I mentioned I wanted to take a spin around the National Football League. As you all know, training camp not just going on for the Washington Commanders. It's going on for all 32 teams around the National Football League as well. A little bit of a training camp update. I know this is going to make you guys happy. An old friend of ours, made his training camp debut down in the Noya for the New Orleans Saints. Chase Young hitting the practice field for the first time. And according to folks out there in New Orleans, Chase Young flashing during the reps that he got during the team period. Didn't do much. Did some 11-on-11 work with the backups, but showing power as a rusher with his bull rush. This is a quote from Saints head coach Dennis Allen from earlier today. He kind of bull rushed back in there and got a little too close to the quarterback for me, but that catches your eye when a guy is able to walk the offensive tackle back into the quarterback. I liked what I saw in those three plays. Wow. He only took three snaps. So Chase Young ahead of schedule in his anticipated rehab schedule, coming back from that neck injury that he suffered last year that caused him to get offseason neck surgery. Will Chase Young get it figured out in New Orleans? That is the big-time question for Chase. And I know a lot of people here locally invested in what his career ends up turning into. Another guy that we're probably all invested in long-term is the guy that I thought was going to be the quarterback of the future here in Washington, slinging Sammy Howell out in Seattle. Be honest with you, the reports coming out of Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, none too thrilled with what they've gotten from Sam Howell to this point. Reports over the weekend talking about Sam Howell really struggling with accuracy. Remember there was the report that came out right around OTAs in minicamp that Sam Howell was going to potentially push Geno Smith for the starting quarterback job in Seattle. Well, according to folks in the know out in the Pacific Northwest, he is closer to competing with PJ Walker for the backup job than potentially pushing Geno Smith to being the starting or for being the starting quarterback in Seattle. I am honestly stunned. I'm stunned, but then not really, because I remember y'all looked at me as the bad news bear at a point in time last year when I said Sam Howell was holding this football team back. I think, look, he dropped to the 5th round for a reason. The evaluators aren't cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? Sam Howell probably isn't an NFL starter at the quarterback position, but doesn't mean he can't be a very damn good backup. Doesn't mean he still can't develop into a starter. Let's just remember this when talking about Howell. He's young, wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac. He is still a pupil at quarterback. And based off of the guys that he had to learn from here in Washington, Geno Smith would be the best veteran asset for Sam Howell in his young career moving forward. But I know if I'm Geno, I'm like, yo, youngin, you ain't getting my job, brother. No matter how well you sling it with jerseys and shorts on, once the pads come on and this thing gets for real, I'm the starter here for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm fascinated to see Sam Howell during the preseason. I don't know if Seattle has any joint practices scheduled, but he is a guy that, as a former Commander, definitely going to be watching him moving forward. Now, you all have probably heard Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson suffering a calf strain late last week, and as a result of that, we have seen Justin Fields get first-team reps at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and mixed bag of sorts to this point. I've seen highlights on Twitter where he's dropping the ball in the bucket. I've also seen him turn it over a couple of times as well. I have said it since they acquired both Russell and Justin Fields. You give Justin Fields every rep in training, not every rep, but every chance to earn the starting quarterback job because he is a young quarterback that still needs to get reps in order to get better. For the most part, we know what Russell Wilson is at this point in his career. I think now the more important thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers is to figure out what you've got in young Justin Fields. Point blank, period. That's what matters. Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson, a part of a quarterback battle across the National Football League. We've got plenty of them going on across the NFL. I'm back with you tomorrow night, same time, same place. We'll look at some of the other quarterback battles across the National Football League. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It's at @NELL_BTP. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler up next as the Nats take on the Arizona Diamondbacks right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One final segment here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking it up to 9:10 before we dish the rock over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll bring you Nats and Diamondbacks from out in Arizona. It is a 9:40 first pitch pregame coverage. Of course, gets rolling at 9:10 right here on The Fan with Nats on deck. Old money-making Mitch Parker set to get the start for the Curly W's. Hopefully, he is much better than he was his last two outings where he was absolutely shelled. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Nat's going to be a little bit shorthanded tonight in Arizona, and I wonder what type of impact this has on the bats. Lane Thomas, the Lane Train, no longer a member of the Washington Nationals. GM Mike Rizzo continuing to wheel and deal as we get closer to Major League Baseball's trade deadline. We saw Jesse Winker get dealt over the weekend. Now, Lane Thomas, the latest member of the Washington Nationals to get moved. He gets shipped to the Cleveland Guardians in exchange for a package of prospects, including a guy that there seems to be some excitement about on social media, Alex Klemny, the left-handed, the 6'6 lefty from the Cleveland Guardians. Their number 8 prospect in their system. It's got a nasty fastball that tops out at just about under, just a hair under 100 miles per hour. And he is a young man that hopefully in due time will be a big part of this Washington Nationals pitching staff. But as we mentioned, though, Lane Thomas, no longer a member of the Washington Nationals. Klemny, the big prospect that they get in return. They also get 19-year-old single-A shortstop Rafael Ramirez, as well as 23-year-old triple-A infielder Jose Tena, who's played shortstop and third base this year. He's got 35 career major league at-bats, so prospect with a little bit more experience to round out that package that Washington gets in exchange for Lane Thomas. Now, I mentioned I wanted to take a spin around the National Football League. As you all know, training camp not just going on for the Washington Commanders. It's going on for all 32 teams around the National Football League as well. A little bit of a training camp update. I know this is going to make you guys happy. An old friend of ours, made his training camp debut down in the Noya for the New Orleans Saints. Chase Young hitting the practice field for the first time, and according to folks out there in New Orleans, Chase Young flashing during the reps that he got during the team period. Didn't do much. Did some 11-on-11 work with the backups, but showing power as a rusher with his bull rush. This is a quote from Saints head coach Dennis Allen from earlier today. He kind of bull rushed back in there and got a little too close to the quarterback for me. But that catches your eye when a guy is able to walk the offensive tackle back into the quarterback. I liked what I saw in those three plays. Wow. He only took three snaps. So Chase Young ahead of schedule in his anticipated rehab schedule, coming back from that neck injury that he suffered last year that caused him to get offseason neck surgery. Will Chase Young get it figured out in New Orleans? That is the big-time question for Chase, and I know a lot of people here locally invested in what his career ends up turning into. Another guy that we're probably all invested in long-term is the guy that I thought was going to be the quarterback of the future here in Washington, slinging Sammy Howell out in Seattle. Be honest with you, the reports coming out of Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, none too thrilled with what they've gotten from Sam Howell to this point. Reports over the weekend talking about Sam Howell really struggling with accuracy. Remember there was a report that came out right around OTAs in minicamp that Sam Howell was going to potentially push Geno Smith for the starting quarterback job in Seattle? Well, according to folks in the know out in the Pacific Northwest, he is closer to competing with P.J. Walker for the backup job than potentially pushing Geno Smith to being the starting or for being the starting quarterback in Seattle. I am honestly stunned. I'm stunned, but then not really, because I remember y'all looked at me as the bad news bear at a point in time last year when I said Sam Howell was holding this football team back. Look, he dropped to the 5th round for a reason. The evaluators aren't cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? Sam Howell probably isn't an NFL starter at the quarterback position, but doesn't mean he can't be a very damn good backup. Doesn't mean he still can't develop into a starter. Let's just remember this when talking about Howell. He's young, wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac. he is still a pupil at quarterback. And based off of the guys that he had to learn from here in Washington, Geno Smith would be the best veteran asset for Sam Howell in his young career moving forward. But I know from Geno, I'm like, yo, youngin', you ain't getting my job, brother. No matter how well you sling it with jerseys and shorts on, once the pads come on and this thing gets for real, I'm the starter here for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm fascinated to see Sam Howell during the preseason. I don't know if Seattle has any joint practices scheduled, but he is a guy that, as a former Commander, definitely going to be watching him moving forward. Now, you all have probably heard Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson suffering a calf strain late last week, and as a result of that, we have seen Justin Fields get first-team reps at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and mixed bag of sorts to this point. I've seen highlights on Twitter where he's dropping the ball in the bucket. I've also seen him turn it over a couple of times as well. I have said it since they acquired both Russell and Justin Fields. You give Justin Fields every rep in training, not every rep, but every chance to earn the starting quarterback job because he is a young quarterback that still needs to get reps in order to get better. For the most part, we know what Russell Wilson is at this point in his career. I think now the more important thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers is to figure out what you've got in young Justin Fields. Point blank, period. That's what matters. Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson, a part of a quarterback battle across the National Football League. We've got plenty of them going on across the NFL. I'm back with you tomorrow night, same time, same place. We'll look at some of the other quarterback battles across the National Football League. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It's at @NELL_BTP. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler up next as the Nats take on the Arizona Diamondbacks right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.